Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The title of my message tonight is Acceptable Service. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. You know, it seems like everybody now is asking that question, are my service acceptable? You do something and all of a sudden you get a survey or you get a critique and say, can you help us to improve our service? You know, the one that we need to be acceptable to is God.
Amen.
Okay. And so tonight in our passage in Psalm 19 verses 12 through 14, it says, who can understand his errors? God can. He can make us to understand. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, we need to be acceptable to God. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about this is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. It is your reasonable service. It is your acceptable service. So tonight, quickly, I want to go through four ways that we can have acceptable service to God. First of all, we have to serve with all thine heart. As we go through these points, you know, we're going to see that they build on one another. Salvation is a heart issue. It is not a head issue. It is not a knowledge issue. It is an experience of the saving power of Christ. It's a forgiving issue. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? A lot of people go through life and they say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, here's a verse right here. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, not to be scared of him, but to reverence him, to honor him, to glorify him, to praise him, to serve him. He says, to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in, oh, there's that word again, all his ways. Not our ways, his ways. So if we're walking in our ways, we're not walking in all of his ways. In all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Lord thy God with all thy soul. I hate PowerPoint, okay? It just got repeated there. But with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So here is this. There's the expectation. This is what the Lord God requires of us. The first of all is to respect him. You know, we are lacking as a society in respect. We don't respect God's institution of marriage. We don't respect God's institution of government because they don't respect God. And there's a lot of things that people are just dismissing everything. But God requires, this is what he's expecting of us. And it's an expectation. And what we need to understand is we need to do the execution of it. We need to actually do it. It's one thing to say something, but it's another thing to say it and do it. It means that you truly believe it. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, in my reading this week, it took me through this passage, one of my favorite verses. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? You want to know what God wants you to do? Here it is. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. It's a question. It's a question we need to answer every day. And so we need, God expects us to love him, okay, and to fear him, and to walk in all his ways. God, we need to do that by following him, and the expression of it is only from our heart. It says that we need to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. So the first thing we need to do is we need to serve with all thine heart. We sing the song, is thy what? Heart right with God. Because it is a heart issue. Salvation is a heart issue. And then secondly, you need to serve with a willing mind. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, David is talking to Solomon, his son. Okay? And he says this, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. This is good instruction of a father to a son. But my question is tonight, dads, have we taught our children? Have we taught our children about God? First of all, you can't teach him about God unless he is your God right now. You can't teach what you don't do. Remember, that's what God requires us to do, is to walk in all his commandments and to love him and to fear him. And so the issue here is it requires a perfect heart. It requires a perfect heart. Our first point was that we need to serve with all thine heart because it is a heart issue. I think John said it very well today. There is people who run away from God, and there's people who just serve from the outside. Their heart's not in it. And they will be exposed, and you can see them too. There's no result because their heart's not in it. Boy, if you love something, you love to do something, you will work at it. And you'll try to do what? You try to get it right. You try to get it right. It's the heart that drives the mind, not the mind drives the heart. Okay? And it says, it requires a perfect heart. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, the guy says here, it says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Okay, you want to know if your heart's right with God? Are you walking in his statutes? Are you keeping his commandments? Okay? Christ himself asked his disciples, says, why do you love me? You say you love me, but you do not the things that I say. So we need to serve with a willing mind. It requires a disciplined mind. It requires a disciplined mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, and if you want some good scriptures to memorize, this is one. Okay? Because there are so many things attacking our mind now. But Paul is writing to a church that's having moral problems. They're writing it with a church. He's writing it to a church where the men have purity problems. And it says here, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted against itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, our text verse for this point, it says, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, okay, and understandeth what? All the imaginations of the thoughts. You know, we can sin by just thinking on the wrong thing. You don't have to do the action to have the sin. You just think of the action. You know, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said, if you lust after a woman, you committed adultery with her in your heart. And as far as God was concerned, your heart's not perfect. And remember, if you don't have a perfect heart, you're not going to have a willing mind. And so it requires a disciplined mind. This is spiritual warfare. And it says here, what? Where is the warfare? The warfare is in the mind. It is pulling down of strongholds. Are there sayings in your mind that you just can't get rid of? Are there thoughts that you say, you know that they're there and you try to get rid of them and you can't do it? That's a stronghold. Or you just keep on coming back to that? That's a stronghold. Okay? Through God, you can pull them down. The second thing is casting down imaginations. Basically, just throwing them down as things on the dirt. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. There is the test. The things we think on, do they exalt knowledge or do they dismiss knowledge to God? Remember, whatsoever things are pure, holy, just, to be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because if our thoughts align with Christ, we have a willing mind. If our heart aligns with Christ, we have a perfect heart. And we can serve God the way He wants us to serve. So we need to serve with a willing mind. It requires a perfect heart. It requires a disciplined mind. And here in the last part, it says it requires an independent relationship. It says here in our text, it says, understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. What God wants in our life is to be dependent upon Him. He wants every thought to be in control of Him. He wants all of our heart. He wants all of us. He wants every bit of it. It's what He requires. He wants us to be dependent on Him. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us daily of our trespasses as we forgive others of those that trespass against us. See, the issue is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affection on things above. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. See, how do you get those things? Well, James says, where does sin start? It starts up here. And if this is messed up, then this is messed up. Okay? And so it starts up here. And God wants to bring everything into captivity to Him. He wants to bring every thought to the obedience of Him. So to serve with a willing mind requires a perfect heart. It requires a disciplined mind. And then it results in a dependent relationship. He wants to be our master. He wants to be our Lord all the time. Not just when we think we need Him. We sing the song, I need Thee every hour. Okay? Do we really mean it? Okay? Do we really mean it? So we need to serve with all our heart. We need to serve with a willing mind. And then we need to serve with all humility. In the book of Acts, in chapter 20, Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem. He wants to encourage as many people as he can. He had a willing heart. He had a willing mind. And so he can't take the side trip up to Ephesus. So he puts in to Miletus, and they come down, the elders come down from Ephesus. And he's talking to them. Now, all along the way, Paul is being told, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. This is going to be bad for you. But in verse 19 of Acts 20, Paul says this. He says, serving the Lord with, there is that word, all humility. Not partial humility, not false humility, but all humility of mind. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. See, to serve with all humility starts with the mindset of humility. But you will never be humble unless your heart is perfect. You'll never truly be humble unless your mind, you have a willingness to change the way God wants you to be. And it starts with this mindset of humility. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the what? As the elect of God. To show others that we are the elect. This is what God requires of us. Holy and beloved. This is our status. This is God's status. He wants us to be like that. Bowels of mercy. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. And long suffering. I'll tell you what. It's hard to be merciful with some of the stuff that's going on right now. But that's what we're supposed to do. It's hard to be kind when people mistreat you. But think of what they did to our Savior.
Right.
It's hard to be humble in mind because that's alien to the flesh. It's hard to be patient at times, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ricky. But we're all guilty of that, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know what causes the strife and vainglory? A me-first attitude. If you have a me-first attitude, there is no humility in your mind. There's no mindset there. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of what? Mind. Okay? Let each esteem other better than themselves. So to serve with all humility, we have to choose to be humble. We have to change the way we think. That's what Romans says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. Next thing is, humility will allow us to suffer through trouble. To suffer through trouble. Christ is having his last supper with his disciples. This is the last time that they're going to be together on the earth. They have watched him for 3 years be the humble servant of God the Father. They've just experienced him washing their feet. The Creator God of the universe washing men's feet. But in the whole process of this, they're arguing, three of them, arguing on who is going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? Is it me? Is it me? Oh, this week, every class I went into, who's your favorite? I could do it by elimination and say who's not my favorite. But the issue, that wouldn't be a right thing, right? But my answer is this. We shouldn't have any favorites. God is no respecter of persons. Book of James says, have not the faith of God with respect of persons. What does that mean? It means that we need to treat everybody equally. When we have favorites, then we are prejudiced against the ones who are not favored. So the disciples are arguing over who's going to be greatest. Which one is it? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? But in Luke chapter 22, verses 26 through 28, it says, but ye shall not be so. This is what the Lord requires of you. To serve God with your heart. To serve with willingness of mind. He says, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Remember what I just did to you guys? Ye are they which have what? Continued with me in my temptations. See, Christ was an object lesson to them. He was ridiculed in every city. He was mocked, blasphemed. And they're on the outside watching this. And Christ is thinking, he says, you've stayed with me, except for Judas. Paul comes and he says, look. He tells these elders at Ephesus, at Miletum. He says, look. He says, you've seen how I served you, okay? He says, with many tears and temptations, trial. The same word for temptations is the same word that Christ used. It's trouble. It's not a spiritual test. It's trouble. All that live godly will what? Suffer persecution. And there's a lot of trouble. You know, there's a lot of people that because of their pride and they're not humble of mind, when trouble comes in their life, they say, I've had enough of this. But God's saying, look, he says, you're those that continue with me through my trouble. So are we going to continue through the trouble looking to God? Or are we just going to turn our back and forsake him? Remember what David told Solomon. He says, if you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you don't, he'll forsake you. So humility starts with a mindset. A change of mind. It suffers through trouble. You know, how many of us have often said with trouble, I don't deserve this. Christ deserved none of what he got. We don't have the right to say, it's just too hard. Or, it should happen to somebody else and not to me. No, humility suffers through troubles. And humility sees things through. So Paul starts out here, verse 19. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He says, you watched my testimony. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And then he goes here in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, and verse 21. And look at this first phrase here. He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You know, sometimes we like to hold things back so we have a little bit of an edge. That's not being humble. He says, I held nothing back. I've emptied myself to you, just as my Savior has emptied himself for me. He says, I've held back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a heart issue. Changes your mind. It allows us to be humble like Him and to serve with all humility. And lastly, we will serve with gladness. Tell you what, I went out mowing the yard Friday night, and I was not happy. It was too humid. I came in all drenched with it. And then Saturday, went out and did the same thing again. And all drenched. It doesn't make you happy. Sometimes we go and we get all sticky and yeah. And we said, this is yuck. This is yuck, okay? But you know something? Some things God may ask us to do might be yuck. We're supposed to serve with gladness. In Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. See, you know what gladness will do? It'll replace sadness. Gladness will replace sadness. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 11, it says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Folks, if we allow the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to rule in our hearts, if we sing in our hearts with melody to the Lord, so it says in Colossians 3:16, we can be glad, and that should drive all the sadness away. I was reading in Micah chapter 7, and if you read the first part, it says, I can't get what I want. No one does anything. Everybody's out to get me. I can't trust anybody. And then he says, I'll think on God. And that fixes everything in that chapter. He says, I'll think on God. See, serve with gladness, and it replaces sadness. You know, sometimes we want to stew in the things that go wrong. That's the wrong thing. That can cause bitterness. That can cause, and then all of a sudden, you start conjuring up all the reasons you're sad. And then you get mad. Now you're no longer humble. Okay? And then you get mad and you say, well, I'm never going to do that again. And then you won't serve at all. See, we need to serve the Lord with gladness. And what does it do? It rings in satisfaction. It rings in satisfaction. Psalm 63, verses 3 through 6, it says, because thy loving kindness is what? Better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Okay, I'll give you some things to praise God for. Even when you have a bad day, God still loves you. Amen. God still is kind towards you. He wants to show His kindness to you. You ought to praise Him for that. If you have nothing else, you can praise Him for that. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And here it comes. It says, and my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my joy shall praise thee with joyful lips. The same word for gladness. Or mouth. Okay? And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When what? When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I challenge you tonight, church, Go home tonight. And before you go to sleep, think of how good God is.
Amen.
And how good He is towards us. Even when we're just wiry, ornery, stubborn people, He's still good to us. And reflect on that. You'll sleep better.
Amen.
You'll sleep better. Because that's something that no one can take away. But we have to choose to follow. Are we acceptable to God? Is our heart acceptable to God? Do we serve Him with a willing mind? Or are we coerced into doing things? Okay? Do we serve Him with a humble mind and a humble spirit? Do we serve Him with gladness? I hope that when you come to church, it's a happy thing for you. Not a duty. And it's a sad thing that some people will allow other things to get in the way of praising God and serving God. Because that means something, that tells me this, that your problems are bigger than God. That's what it's telling me. Nothing is bigger than God.
Amen.
Okay? Cast all our cares on Him, for He cares for us. So are we acceptable to God? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight I just ask that they would realize that You died on the cross for their sin, that You were buried, You rose again the third day. You sit in heaven offering salvation, offering forgiveness of sins if we just ask for it. Lord, I pray that they would ask for the forgiveness of their sin, that they would acknowledge that You are God, and they would call on You for salvation. Lord, for us tonight, Lord, that know You, Lord, help us to serve You with acceptable service. Help us, Lord, to have You as our standard and not ourselves, not other people, Lord, but to realize that if you're approving what we do, then we don't have to worry about what man thinks. Lord, we just give You this time. We ask You to take away all distraction and let the Holy Spirit work. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.